The text is the Gospel from St. Luke. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept it to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. Here ends our text. The transfiguration is immediately before Jesus turns to go to Jerusalem for the last time. Right before and right after the transfiguration, Jesus tells all the apostles that he must suffer and die. So Jesus punctuates this glorious revelation with stark statements about his rejection by the church and execution by the state. This is the last stop the Lord would have us make before turning towards his suffering and death in Lent. You know how a blinding flash of light leaves an image in your mind? In the Transfiguration, Jesus glows like a lightning flash. He wishes to leave an image behind. It's the image of the two great men of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah, talking to Jesus. About what? About how to make the disciples more faithful. About how the church can grow. No, they're talking about Jesus' departure, which is about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. The things we speak to each other during Lent are what all of heaven talks about. In the Gospels, 121 of the approximately 12,000 days Jesus walked this earth can be identified. Of those 121 days, the Gospels focus most on the last seven. On 6% of Jesus' life, the Gospels focus an average of 30% of their verses. Think of the things they could have spent more time on. Miracles of Jesus, words of Jesus. Yet the Holy Spirit focuses them and us on Jesus' suffering and death. Have the image of the Old Testament saints speaking with Jesus about his departure burned on your mind. And be sure to note that it is a glorified Jesus they are speaking with. If you focus on the passion of Jesus rightly in the weeks ahead, you're going to see a glorified Jesus. Beaten, bloody, so swollen and bruised that Isaiah says he didn't even look human anymore. It is important to know that Jesus does not end up this way because he is weak and helpless and couldn't do anything about it. No, as Isaiah says, this happened because the Father was pleased to crush him. The glory Jesus is the glorious Lord, whom angels wait on, devils must flee, and whom cannot suffer unless he wills to. And Jesus wills to. And he wills that you go with him. Note well, nobody stays on the mountain. God the Father removes Moses and Elijah, and Jesus removes himself and the disciples. Nobody stays where the hallelujahs rang in the night sky. Nobody stays where the reality of who Jesus is shines forth in flesh and blood. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Jesus takes his disciples and they descend into Lent, where the ashes prevail, where his apostles will betray him, forsake him, and deny him. You can't get to heaven by staying on this mountain where heaven came down to earth. You got to go through the ashes. But we are Peter. Jesus is in prayer, and what are Peter and the other disciples doing? Sleeping. They were literally heavy with sleep, not merely sleepy. If all of them are asleep, why focus on Peter? Well, because the text does. But even more than that, before Jesus took them up this mountain, Peter had confessed Jesus to be the very Son of God. Then Jesus predicted his suffering and death, and what did Peter do? Well, Peter denied that it would ever happen to Jesus. Then Jesus spoke those terrible words to Peter. He said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you mind the things of men, not God." Now let me ask you, if Jesus called you Satan because you were not properly focused on his suffering and death, wouldn't you pay closer attention to him after that? And if Jesus was in prayer, wouldn't that indicate to you that you too ought to be on your knees? Of course not. We are Peter. We know no special time for prayer like Lent. What Jesus does or even suffers is not as important to us as what is going on in our little lives, our little thoughts, and our little hearts. The fact that the scripture says Jesus is always praying for us, well, that doesn't turn us towards him or prayer. No, it only makes us sleepy. Peter only goes from bad to worse on this mountain. Peter hears them speaking of Jesus' departure, which Jesus had earlier told him about. He hears them say that it can only be accomplished in Jerusalem. But what does Peter want? Even though just 8 days ago Jesus had identified Peter's desire to keep him from departing as satanic, Peter still wants to stop Jesus from going. Peter wants to stay on the mountain. This is heaven to Peter. Heaven can't be through ashes. No, ashes only get in the way of God's real plans. We are Peter. We talk about a theology of the cross, but we sure don't live there. No, God is only at work in the good things that happen to me. My frustrations with kids, spouse, work, and world, which leave the taste of ashes in my mouth, well, that can't be God's work. Oh, I sing "Lift High the Cross" like everyone else. But I am singing of a cross empty. Empty of the body of Christ and empty of my own body. Only that which makes me feel glad, positive, upbeat, and confident, only that is the work of God. Ashes should always be avoided, sometimes endured, but never, ever embraced. But wanting to stay on the mountains, that's not Peter's worst sin. Peter's worst sin is equating Jesus with Moses and Elijah. Peter had just confessed him to be the Son of God, yet now he would build one shrine for each of them. Though Jesus is the one gleaming like lightning, though Moses and Elijah are there to talk to Jesus, not the other way around, about what Jesus would do, to Peter, they're equals. And isn't that really how it is to you too? Jesus is just one more biblical character. You see, no more need to focus on the last week of Jesus' life than to focus on the death of Moses or Elijah's lack of death. Oh, it makes for an interesting Bible study. You learn some neat facts about Jesus' last week of life. But in all candor, the death of Moses and the taking to heaven of Elijah, they're more intriguing to you than Jesus' death on the cross. We are Peter. And the Holy Spirit tells us, for he is really the only one who could know this, that Peter did not know what he was saying. I say a lot of stupid things about Jesus, and I think even more. Jesus is unfair because he doesn't lead me on the path of hallelujahs but ashes. Jesus should do this or that. Or like Peter, I think Jesus needs me to do this or that for him. Jesus this, shining in glory, I'm peeing my pants in fear, yet I still think Jesus needs me to do something for him. And by golly, I can do it. You see, I don't know what I'm saying. And that's why our God comes on the scene today, right now, in these words, and declares from heaven, listen to Jesus. Don't listen to Moses and the law. Don't listen to Elijah and his miracles. Listen to Jesus. There are important things on this mountaintop, but they all lead down from here to Lent, on to Jerusalem and Jesus' suffering and death. But we are Peter. We don't want to go where Jesus leads. We don't want to embrace the ashes of his passion or the ashes in our own lives. And we think that what we have to say is more important and correct than what Jesus has to say. Well, God the Father hushes us and says, listen to Jesus. Thankfully, though we are Peter, Jesus remains Jesus. Jesus is true God, yet he is also true man. He's under the same law that you are. And it is a command of God. It is a law of God that you pray. God does not give you the choice to pray or not, any more than you have the choice to breathe or not. Breathe or you die physically. Pray or you die spiritually. But we don't pray as we should. We don't pray about what we should. Jesus gives us the very words to pray in the Lord's Prayer. And what do? We don't use them at all. And the few times we do pray, we think our words are more meaningful. We don't pray, and we sleep when Jesus talks in church. Yet what happens? Lightning doesn't strike us, though it should. God does not answer our foolish prayers, though he could. No, God answers better than we pray, and he sends grace, mercy, and peace, not lightning bolts. This is because Jesus embraces the ashes we deserve but shun. The suffering and death Jesus goes to face in Jerusalem, that's our suffering and death. Our failure to pray without ceasing, our asking for our will to be done, not God's, our boredom with Jesus and his teaching, don't call for a rap across the knuckles with a ruler, but for being forsaken, punished with disease and death, and finally damned. But even then, our sins would not be paid for. That's why we would go to hell forever. Sinners can't pay for sins even when they suffer. Only holy, perfect sacrifices can satisfy God's just wrath. This is Jesus. He prays when we sleep. He talks about the things of God. We don't listen. He is willing to suffer if it be the will of God. We are not. He is the perfect Son of God, the perfect sacrifice. He can take away the sins of the world. He can be a wrath-removing sacrifice for the sins of the world. That's what's going on during Lent. And though we turn away from it, though we don't focus on it, though we get bored with it, Jesus still does it. Jesus remains Jesus. Paul writes Pastor Timothy, if we are faithless, Jesus remains faithful. If Jesus is only as faithful as I am, then I am in trouble. But Jesus keeps on heading to the cross, though we don't believe the cross is the real answer to our problems. More than that, though all heavenly hope disappears, like on that mountaintop, Jesus stays with us, and he takes us to his cross and ours. Though we, like the first disciples, grab onto Jesus' robe and dig in our heels because the cross just can't be the answer, Jesus keeps on heading for the cross because it's the only answer. Well, when only did the apostles see the cross as the answer? When only did they finally get that there are no real hallelujahs apart from ashes? When Jesus rose from the dead and opened their hearts and minds to the truth that he had to suffer for sinners in order for him to enter into the glory of being the Savior God of sinners. Once Jesus rose, his suffering was redeemed, and so was theirs, and so was ours. Then the ashes in life were not seen as the remains of their plans, hopes, and dreams that had burned up. No, the ashes were the very source from which God's saving will for them would rise, even as the phoenix can only rise from its ashes. Ashes are not incompatible with hallelujahs. They are indispensable to them. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.